cheat sheet, but I'll call our, this meeting of the Annexation and Zoning Committee to order. Present today, members of the committee, Mark Lukey, Katie Cavallini, and Sandy Hussman. And then, I think that's right, and then we have the other members of council present here. Mark Frye, Mary, and Jason, the mayor's here, our law director's here, Bill Sanford is here, Kevin Aller's here. And I just got an email from the Blade writer asking if we were having our meeting, that there were a number of cancellations due to fog in the area.
We're still thinking.
So we got here before the fog, but we may be spending.
There you go.
We can walk through elemental fog.
No worries.
I'm more worried about crawling home.
Okay, so the purpose of the meeting this evening was to address the design standards legislation. And I just want to go back and refresh everyone's recollection, because we have, there's some confusion somewhere here, and I'm not quite sure how, not quite sure where we are. But the original recommendation here was to condense all the design review requirements into a single chapter of the code. And I think what we were talking about there was chapter 1151, 1152, and 1187. Those were the three chapters that had specific design requirements. We had a draft set of design guidelines. And we've been kicking this around for a long time, which is part of the reason why I think it got confused. I think we actually started talking about doing this more than a year ago. But we finally got, we did get a set of design guidelines, and I'm not sure if council got them or if I got them directly from Randy Mielnick of Pogemeyer in, at the end of June of this, of 2015. We end up referring those to, ultimately we end up referring those and a proposed ordinance 56-2015 to the Planning Commission a couple of months ago. And then on November 12th, we got a recommendation back from the Planning Commission with a new set of design guidelines drafted with a date 11-9-15. That I think Pogemeyer prepared, and a markup of chapter 1150 of the code, which wasn't supposed to be involved in any of this. So I'm not, talked briefly with Leslie, and I'm not sure, told that the Planning Commission did not intend to recommend necessarily changes to 1150, but
no, that's a typo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that was the consultant using the language. It should be 1156.
But it is from the language of 1150. I think
we'll get it straightened out. But there was no intent by the Planning Commission to propose additional changes to 1150.
So if you look at the November 12th letter to the mayor and member of the council from Deborah Webb, I think we can advance this to some degree this evening by ignoring the markup of the legislation. We can talk about the legislation as it was initially proposed, and we can talk a little bit about the Sylvania design guideline draft of 11-9-2015. And actually, there are very few changes to the design guidelines from the June draft that I have. There are some, but they're not significant. So my understanding of where we are right now is we have proposed ordinance 56-2015. It needs And we probably ought to, and it's gonna need to be reviewed again, because the purpose there would be to, by consolidating the design guidelines, would be to have a single chapter, probably chapter 1187. But getting rid of 1151 and 1152, and the ordinance doesn't call for the repeal of those currently, so we're gonna need to amend the actual ordinance to repeal those sections. In doing that, I'm sure we want to confirm that all the stuff that's in 1151 and 1152 that we want to transfer to 1187 is in there. And I've been working on this yesterday and today, and I think it's pretty much there. But I'm going to ask the law director to do that, and maybe before we're done here, we may need to have a sit down with maybe the law director and Kevin and Randy and I, and just make sure that we've got that right, because we want it right when we do it. But we're certainly close. Then the design guidelines, we can talk about those this evening as well. When we talked about them at our last meeting, but I think everyone wanted more time to review those. So that's where I think we are. Does anybody have any questions about the current status or any observations? Leslie, do you have anything to add?
No, Mr. Hainem, that's an accurate classification of where we currently are with this.
So, and in fact, if we look at the, I'll just note that the Planning Commission approved the proposed ordinance, inclusive of the November 19th, 2015 revisions, and I think they may have intended some other proposed changes, but we're not sure what those are. So we'll, and I'm not quite sure how to deal with that. Maybe Mr. Mielnick could explain that to us, since he's the one who drafted the changes to Section 1150, apparently. Okay. So where things are. So with that, I think the natural place to go is probably talk a little bit about the ordinance, the new chapter 1187, and the process. And the design guidelines. Chapter 1187 incorporates some of the provisions from 1150 in Section 1187.05. And it may be, we may want to eliminate those from 1150 as well going forward. That's one of the things that I want to review with the law director going forward. But the basic process here is something that I've had some question about, and so I just thought we should review that briefly. And under the code, under the proposed code, whenever a structure is going to be built within the downtown architectural district or the gateway architectural district. And I think one of the changes that the Planning Commission intended to incorporate into this section was to make it clear that the gateway architectural districts, the design standards only applied to residences within the Gateway Architectural District. If you recall, we had some discussion about that in our last meeting. I think the intent was to exclude single-family residences from, make it clear that single-family residences we're not subject to those design guidelines. So we may have to amend the code to make that clear. And also, but I think that's incorporated into the design guidelines. But anyway, so when an application comes in, and that is, and that covers any structure that is altered, reconstructed, enlarged, or remodeled such that it involves an exterior design, material, finish, grade line, major landscaping, or orientation of the structure. So almost any change has to, you have to apply for a certificate of appropriateness, which would be granted by the Architectural Review Board. They then actually would have a, would review the application and will consider or grant or deny the certificate of appropriateness within the current statute provides for 30 days, which I think is very fast. We might want to consider extending that to 30 or 60 days, I think. That's one of the notes that I had. I'm sorry, 45 to 60 days, but it's one of the comments I had in here. And in evaluating the changes, they would go to the design guidelines. So the process is, you want to change, if you want to, for example, redo the exterior of the Frickers building, you do a design, you come up with the design, you submit it with an application. The Architectural Review Board reviews it and issues you a certificate of appropriateness or not. And if they don't, they're required to explain how the changes you would have to make to comply with the existing design guidelines. So this is a significant, I mean, this would be a significant change in the development in the Gateway, particularly in the Gateway District. We already have this in the downtown architectural district, the area right around the immediate downtown. But this would be a significant procedural and administrative change for developers along Monroe Street and up Alexis in our Gateway area. And again, the standards that they apply are set forth in the design guidelines. We also have, for the first time, a requirement that you get a certificate of appropriateness for a demolition of a structure. So if you're going to tear down the Frickers building, which some people might find appropriate, or maybe a tire store in the middle of our downtown area, you'd be required to get a certificate of appropriateness regarding the proposed demolition in terms of grading, landscaping, and other design treatment of the property once it's been removed. So that would, that I suppose you could consolidate that if you were going to demolish a building and build a new one, you could get a single certificate of appropriateness for both the demolition and the rebuild, or if you were going to demolish a building and have a piece of raw property sit there for a while, it would require, we would have the ability to require that demolition to be done in a manner that didn't become an eyesore. We could specify, you know, what you're going to do with the property while it's sitting there waiting for development. As a city, in the SOMO area, for example, we've maintained that, so it isn't an isn't an eyesore, but this would apply to private developers in the Gateway District as well. Two issues that members of council have raised with me that I'll just throw out on the table, and if folks have thoughts about it, we can talk about it. One is the question of whether the Board of Architectural Review could or should be a separate board from the Planning Commission. That was one issue that was raised with me. Another one was the timing and the process for certificates of appropriateness, and whether council should have a final yay or nay review of those before they become effective. Currently, and for as long as I can remember, I think the Planning Commission and the Board of Architectural Review have been the same. I know when I was on the Planning Commission.
It must be incorporated in the legislation someplace.
It must be somewhere. Yeah,
It was conceived that way, and it's always been that way.
Yeah, and I think if you look at our Planning Commission, if you look at the resumes of our Planning Commission, we have Craig sits on that, and he's an architect. We have some lawyers, and we have some business people.
And a real estate agent.
I'm sorry?
And a real estate agent.
So, you know, I mean, that the resumes of the folks on the Planning Commission would probably be appropriate for an architectural review board. But you could think of other resumes that would fit there as well, but they would also fit on the Planning Commission. So, you know, you know, during my time on the Planning Commission, I was involved in the review of the hotel. I think when Sandy was on, she was involved in the review of the Rite Aid, I believe.
The most expensive Rite Aid ever built.
It was so nice.
Which that wasn't the goal. The goal was to make it the nicest looking Rite Aid, right? Not the most expensive.
It's like our nice looking Marathon station on the courts.
There you go. See, so we've had all those sorts of issues historically. The other issue is. Currently, the certificate of appropriateness, once the board issues it, it is final. It goes back to the zoning administrator. The zoning administrator issues the certificate to the builder, and they can go. It would be another potential delay in the process if we were to include some sort of council final sign-off on that. Yeah, Mark, you have a problem?
Yeah, a point of information about all of this.
Yeah.
Is how many of these do we anticipate in the course of the year? I mean, we probably already know kind of from past experience, but you know, it seems to me that the way to think about it is different if we have 20 than if we have 4, right? So, and I say that from the standpoint of what level of attention it would demand, both from the Planning Commission and from here.
Well, Craig, how many do you currently do in
the Board of
Business District?
The Board of Architectural Review is far busier agenda-wise than the Planning Commission because of the sign.
Because of the sign code.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, there's 3 or 4 signs at least every meeting. As for appropriateness of a building, maybe 6 a year, something like that.
But we're going to... I mean, we're vastly expanding the area with that gateway area. I mean, I think we would go from 6 to, it wouldn't surprise me if you wouldn't go
actually,
to 20, 25.
It's not in the regulations, but the city has been bringing all commercial buildings to the Board of Architectural Review. Is that right, Kevin?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, because I question that as well. Why are we bringing this, why are we bringing this in? Well, we just started doing that. And we use it as a tool to improve the appearance of the buildings, and nobody's questioned us so far. So I think we're on, I think that the numbers I gave you are probably about right. Maybe it'll increase some. I hope it increases. I
mean, well, and in addition, that's a hot area for development right now, right? The gateway area. Yeah, I think that there'll be more and more activity there for a while.
What's the logic in your mind, Doug, of pulling that authority up to council for final approval?
Just to give, I mean, it really is just a sort of a veto, sort of ultimate review kind of authority. I'll just, I mean, it wasn't originally my idea, but, you know, I mean, we, and it is, and it would be a departure from the way we've traditionally do it. I mean, we develop, the current program is we have a set of design standards that are, I don't know how many of you have seen these are dated June 1995, and there's, and essentially what the Board of Architectural Review does is they look at these standards and look at the building, and if they meet the standards, they issue their certificate. Although a lot of what happens is they look at the standards, they look at the building, and if the building doesn't look dumb or out of place, they issue a certificate of approval.
It comes down to materials a lot. We expect samples of materials to come in, colors, and the applicants go to a lot of trouble to convince us that the materials are compatible. I don't remember ever challenging anybody on the form of a building. It comes down to material.
I think maybe a roof line once in a while.
Occasionally, but not very often.
Not very often. But roof line and materials and appearance is predominantly what I recall. It's been a while. 12 years goes by fast. You know, paying attention.
If we're going to take that step, would it be appropriate not to delay the process any more than it needs to be for the person who, in your case, you, the person who's the chair of that committee, to get notification with information, and then if that individual believes that it's worthy to come before council for other consideration?
Well, yeah, I mean, we get notice, we do get notice of all the activities of the Board of Architectural Review in our weekly packets.
And I think you are welcome to come to a Board of Building Board meeting. To come and do that. We occasionally have city councilmen show up there.
Right.
To put pressure on an applicant that first they got to go there and then they got to come to city council, that sounds too complicated to me.
I'm sure the developer.
For oversight, we should start sending out the agendas for those meetings to you before the meetings, and you can come if it's of interest to you.
Yeah, you know, I think the precedent, not to pile on to you, but I think I came over when the writing was being considered, right? And we had one more Rite Aid in our community. So that was
a replacement Rite Aid.
It was a replacement Rite Aid. But I profile public matter, right? So I think that council became aware of it. And even though they didn't come here, I think there was a second council member that went too. And so, you know, that's a reasonable option I think the council has to participate.
The new SOFO addition on the front isn't done as nicely as the Rite Aid is, but they mimic the second story, the fake second story on there, just to change the scale of the building. We may see more of that, just because commercial buildings are so tall and yet they're out of scale.
Right.
Compare that Rite Aid to what's out there at Centennial and Erie Street.
Mm-hmm. So So let me ask a question. Well, no, I guess we were answering it. The public process is at the Board of Appeals, right?
Board of Architectural Review.
That's where the public can go and talk.
Yes. Now, those, you know, those agendas are not published in advance, I don't believe, are they? Craig? The Board of Architectural...
Well, they're public knowledge.
They're public knowledge when the meetings are, but the agendas are not published, are they?
I don't know. The agendas are put together the Friday ahead or Thursday ahead, and we can certainly...
Are they online?
They're on the website.
They are. Okay.
I mean, we can certainly share them with City Council.
To the one question I would have, you know, having served on Planning Commission for a pretty brief period of time, certainly we've charged that committee and the Board of Architectural Review with that responsibility. So we really would be looking at a pretty dramatic change if now, what is their authority or their need to be even present if really we're going to become the reviewing panel and the final decision maker?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think we, you know, I think we don't want to create a burden on a developer, a builder, or owner to, I mean, extend the timeout, right? 45 to 60 days, I think, is a good idea because it gives ample time for due process. But if we add a component where they have to come over here, we'll extend it up further, right? Yeah.
I know we want to be quick in this, but I do think in 1187.07, I think we do need to... 30 days is
no, no,
I'm too short.
I'm agreeing that 45 or 60 is appropriate.
Yeah. And that... That would give you... 60 days would give you almost certainly an opportunity for the Board of Architectural Review to review it at a meeting, and if they had issues, review it a second time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably better. And of course, you always have the option of getting the applicant to agree to an extension, or and the applicant can agree to an extension, or deny it. And I assume that happened. I think that's how I remember that happening as well.
It's still happening.
Yeah. So I think. But even so, I think 60 days gives you time to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
Can we shift the gears just for a second? I have a kind of an errant question that isn't necessarily related to the content here.
Okay.
Is this an appropriate time to
sure.
bring that up?
Sure. I'm pretty much done talking about the legislation.
Yeah, okay. So we're putting this in place. Have we had any public process yet to vet this with the people that it will be impacting, which are building owners and developers and so on? It would seem to me that if we haven't, where does that fit into the process?
We have on the agenda tonight a schedule of a public meeting.
Okay, so that will be
right.
that opportunity.
Right.
Okay.
The process for this is we refer to the we get the legislation, we refer to Planning Commission.
Right.
The Planning Commission gives us back.
Which we've gotten.
Comment.
But now we've gotten stalled a little bit, right?
Well, we've
The next step in the process is the schedule of the public
okay.
hearing before the legislation.
Okay, so that'll happen. And
that will be, publicly noticed.
Mm-hmm.
With this, you know, in the past, we have sometimes specifically notified, you know, targeted individuals about
right.
the changes.
And this, in my view, it would be kind of the development community, right? Is that who we're talking about here?
Yeah.
So would it be appropriate to, I mean, I don't know how to notice a profession, I guess, but, you know, is this something that we should make the chamber aware of and the CIC aware of so that at least some of the folks that participate there become aware of the thing? We should say this in front of Sharon, I suppose, or Leslie can pass it on. It just seems to me that we don't want to be accused of hiding the ball on this one.
I don't know if this makes it too complicated, but what about the property owners that it affects, like the Gateway property owners? Is that, I know, is that too much and too crazy, or? I don't know where to draw the line.
You know, it really isn't, I don't think.
Maybe
I don't
if it was just in the paper.
That.
I don't know.
It will be, the notice of the public hearing and the topic will be, is published.
I mean, it'd be good to have input, but we don't want to make it into a...
Right, I mean, it's, it is
crazy.
Yeah, the people who know, who care about this know who they are. And as long as we're fairly transparent about the schedule of the hearing, I think we're okay. But I would encourage us to take it to the chamber and let them talk about it in their newsletter or their media blast, or maybe the CIC or the, something like that.
Yeah, our agenda suggests that we're going to schedule a public hearing for, well, for January 16th.
Yeah,
we can,
that's a lot of time.
Do you have any other specific discussions regarding the ordinance from committee members? Sandy, you have anything you want to add?
Thank you, Doug. No, I was the one that brought up the other the idea of a council override in these decisions, and I'm glad to hear everyone's input on that. I guess I have some concern. Are these important decisions that we need to have some process where we could get involved? I think the mayor has mentioned sending us information ahead of time, for agendas ahead of time, for the Board of Architectural Review and the Planning Commission. I don't want those folks to feel that we're butting in on the business, which was mentioned by Mary. But I think it's important for us to kind of know what's going on and be aware of situations that might come forth. And it's important to be able to hear the whole story. Like in this instance, the Planning Commission gave us some information, and we read the minutes, and but we really don't quite understand all of the intent and the conversation that went on. And we also didn't get to hear from Pogemeyer's representative, Randy. So I feel like we kind of trying to make decisions based on information that we probably should have all been there and heard, so that we could better format our decision.
This one you have a better chance at, because this one comes back to council. It was a Planning Commission recommendation.
Right.
Whereas the Board of Building Review, that doesn't come back here. They're the final answer. Mm-hmm. And I really think that what we said earlier on those issues, because it doesn't come back here, council should review those. And you've been on the Planning Commission. If a city council member shows up, that's a big event. Normally we're in front of nobody except the applicants. I think you also need to let the citizens who are practiced at making those judgments do them in a non-political way. Those are not political people. Nobody's going to say, well, I'm going to support your campaign. Not that anybody here would ever allow that to happen, but it does happen in other communities. Say, hey, you want a nice campaign contribution? Vote favorably on this. I mean, things like that happen. You want my support in your election? Go my way. That doesn't belong in these decisions. Those are not policy decisions.
I don't think it belongs in any decision, but...
You're right. It doesn't belong in any decision. Sandy, what would you, and Craig, or Mr. Mayor, maybe you could comment on this. Maybe we could do... if those agendas are prepared the Friday before the Wednesday meetings, maybe we could just circulate those by email too.
I think that's, we'll just give it to Debbie to do that. She prints them, they may be earlier than that, and we'll just, they'll be part of her checklist when those packets go out, the email of the city council. That's an easy step.
Yeah, I think that's an administratively
outside
easy.
Outside of Kevin's office, and there's no reason why that can't happen.
Yeah, that'll be easy.
It isn't that she has to type anything special.
Yeah.
It's just going to be to attach those agendas.
How does that sound to you, Sandy?
That sounds fine.
Good. Okay. All right. So The next issue is whether we have, whether there are comments on the, specific comments on the design standards that are incorporated in the recommendation. Again, these are almost identical to what we referred to the Planning Commission. I think I saw maybe one or two red line changes. I felt pretty good about these design standards when we referred them. But then, I'm a lawyer, I'm not an architect, maybe not the most aesthetically discriminating.
There were different kinds of recommendations. There were aesthetic considerations, but we also got from the zoning administrator practical ways to look at things, too, that we can actually administer. That was part of the change.
Yeah.
Doug, I did have one that was kind of small and may not be as significant, but, you know, it does outline in there how the parking should be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, you know, if these are just guidelines, then personally, I think it would be fitting to see some recommendations or guidelines for non-automotive parking, right? So some kind of bike parking or something would be useful, especially if you're promoting bike building or area or bike paths in there. Like, having a place to secure them is helpful. Otherwise, you know, they'll be chained to light posts or something like that.
Yeah. We have some discussions about use of knee walls and other sorts of items. You didn't have a specific section that you were thinking of.
No, I don't think that there was. I don't think that there was a place that called that out.
Uh-huh.
I think that there were sections that talked about. I don't have it in front of me, but I think there were sections that talked about lots and I'm going from memory that there might be lots in the back of the building and such. That, you know, maybe there would be a place that you could. I may have to specifically say that somewhere.
Well, we could there's an other building, for example, in the downtown architectural district, other building elements. We talk about utility connections and trash collection equipment. There's also a motorized, non-motorized mobility section. We could maybe talk about, and there's a discussion of
right.
Public parking.
Right.
So what you're really thinking is we would add a new principle
right.
to maybe section 9.
For non-motorized parking.
Yeah, for non-motorized parking. And specifically we're talking about bikes, right? But is that?
That's the most common form, but I don't know what other non-motorized there would be, but yes, bikes.
If we do that, which I agree with, how do we build that out? I mean, does Randy and Pogemeyer have some standard language that we could pull from other communities that might help us think about that?
Well, I mean,
how do we begin to think about it?
I'm sure that, you know.
The answer is yes. I'm sure they have some.
And if he doesn't, I mean, he goes out and takes some photos of some examples probably. But
yeah, okay.
Maybe the language says if you have so many parking spots in the building that for every however many parking spots you have a space to put down.
Yeah, well, maybe it's, I mean, we wanted to say something more than just you need something, right? I mean, it has to be some guidelines for
right.
what it should look like.
I don't know what the guideline looks like, so we have to create that and suggest it.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
But what I'm saying is that probably the most expeditious way to do that is go back to the consultant
right.
and ask
right.
them
right.
to provide it.
And I think what we're talking is, yeah, right, where would we suggest that they put it and then they would write it for us?
Probably in DAD 9 and GAD maybe...
Or let them decide where to start.
Yeah, right.
DAD, GAD design topic number 7, motorized, non-motorized foam fill.
I mean, probably somebody thought of this, right, already, so let's go to work, go to school on that.
I see, yeah, you're right.
Okay, so to DAD, again, that's DAD number, design topic number 9, and GAD design topic number 7. We'll add some discussion about bike parking. Bike parking and security. Okay, that makes sense. Any other specific thoughts about that? Let me ask you all, okay, we've identified some changes to the ordinance that we know we want to make. And at least one design guideline, one set of design guidelines. How comfortable are you all with moving forward with a public hearing at this stage?
And presumably what we would have at the public hearing is the proposed guidelines with the changes in them, correct?
I would hope so, but you know, well, it's December.
Well, yeah, but we didn't ask for a lot, right?
I know.
Is there any sense of urgency, right? We need to be January 16th. I mean, if you feel we need more time, Doug, I don't think that's a concern.
Well, I'm not sure that I feel like we need more time. Okay. But, you know, I'm not, I've spent more time looking at these probably than...
I think the critical path, and it's probably for Leslie to answer, is can you revise these, get them to Doug to review, and I'd be comfortable letting Doug as the chair review them a final time before we walk them into the hearing on the 16th.
Well, we can certainly, you know, they're going to be electronic anyway, so we can share them with everybody.
I'd say let's do it. I mean, this seems to have been around a long time.
It has been around.
And so it'd be nice to get it done.
Maybe we can do a conference call with Randy.
Sounds great.
Okay. All right, do we have any other zoning, any other, do we have another item for the Zoning Annexation Committee? No? Are we good? Are we good? All right, well then I think we have a path forward. I don't think we need any formal action this evening. So, and council, we will set a public hearing date. And with that, I guess at 7:07, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So,
all in favor say aye.
Aye.
And we stand adjourned at 7:07.